The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The Rockets got smoked on Saturday night by the New York Knicks, 108-88. They also lost to the Dallas Mavericks earlier this week. That nice little stretch that they had where they beat Phoenix, though no Devin Booker in that game, and they beat the Sixers with James Harden back on the court. It was a nice couple of moments, but for the most part, this Rockets season, even with the knowing that they are a young rebuilding team, has been largely disappointing. And it came to the point on Saturday that Eric Gordon, the lone Rocket player right now that's, let's be honest, done anything of consequence in the NBA, had this to say after the game.
Are you seeing the improvement that you thought you would see when the season started?
There's no improvement.
There's no improvement. That's not good to hear. That's not good to hear, because this is supposed to be the guy that is making younger players better and helping this organization create any semblance of a culture. The problem for Eric Gordon, who signed an extension a couple of years ago, who is still under contract next season as well, is that he wants to play for a contender, and the Rockets are making no progress towards being one of those anytime soon. Will he be traded at the trade deadline, which is, I believe, February 9th? I don't know. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath. But Gordon brings that up, and he went a little bit further in his commentary. Same old thing all year. We have a small margin for error. It's a lot of things. It's a mindset. You got to play for one another. Do what's right by your teammates. If you do that, it'd be more fun. You give yourself a better chance to win. The young players, for their part, have seemingly been happy with the way things have gone to this point this year. Gordon finally spoke up. I imagine he shared this with the players themselves, or maybe not, based off of Steven Silas, who was asked about Gordon's comments earlier this week.
Rebuilding is hard. It's hard on everybody. It's hard on fans. It's hard on coaches. It's hard on players. And he was frustrated. And I don't necessarily agree how he went about it, but I do understand his frustration. We're all frustrated. And everybody, from all the people who I said, want this rebuild to go faster, want it to go quicker, and want to see it more tangibly. But Eric and I had a good conversation today, and he knows where I stand, I know where he stands, and we're good.
I don't think they're good. And this idea that you just have to patiently wait during a rebuild, you can't make it quicker, faster, is BS. That's absolute crap. You got to hold young players accountable if they're making routine mistakes on a nightly basis. And that's what you get with this young Rockets team. So is it annoying that Eric Gordon made the comments the way that he did? Yeah, to an extent. But I think it's more annoying if you're Steven Silas than it is for anybody who has been watching this team on a regular basis this year. They do a lot of frustrating stuff, and if you're Eric Gordon and you've seen better basketball, or if you're just a Rockets fan and you've seen better basketball over the course of this past decade where the Rockets were pretty damn good, not quite Astros good, you're looking at this and you're like, this is a joke. You got to have some higher standards, and there seems to be just a collective shrugging when it comes to both Steven Silas, who I'm sure is going through a lot right now with his father passing away over the past month, and on top of that, Raphael Stone. There just does not seem to be any level of accountability with this Rockets organization. And maybe that's what Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell, is going to talk about when he joins me in about 10 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But this is something that has become a problem not just for the Rockets, but also for the Texans. the last couple of seasons. And a lot more understandable when it comes to the Texans, just given the whole Jack Easterby dynamic with Bill O'Brien operating things the way that he did, not just the bad trades, but seemingly being a you-know-what to anyone who had ears. And then on top of that, you have this season with Lovie Smith, who there's a lot of the same stuff that you get from Steven Silas. It's a lot of, well, you know, we're looking at the positives. We're looking at the things that are good right now. And I could see why a player like Brandon Cooks was pissed off to the point where after the trade deadline, when he wasn't traded, he decided to skip out on practice and ended up getting benched for that game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Here was Brandon Cooks a couple of months ago.
You don't want to talk about the tweet or explain or further?
I mean, as far as, you know, elaborating on that, like, look, man, I'm human. I'm frustrated. Absolutely. I want to win. That's not the case. That's what's going on. So, you know, that's the way I express my emotion. I think we all want to win. We all frustrated in some sense. So, you know, that's where I'll stand with that.
Okay. Neat. But at the same time, that's different because Brandon Cooks voluntarily signed to play for this Houston Texans team and took $36 million guaranteed to do it out of a $38 million contract. Cooks, I have no patience for. None. You signed up to be here. You don't like it? Well, tough bleep. You know, you signed up to be here. With Eric Gordon, and if I'm not mistaken, Sean, when he signed his extension, this Rockets team wasn't quite a disaster.
They still had James Harden and Chris Paul.
Right. So for him, I think it's a lot more understandable to be vocal about it because it does seem like the entire organization is focusing on the future and you're like, I'm 35. Are you bleeping kidding me? And I'm just stuck here and you can't get me elsewhere and you're not making improvements? I have no problem with what Eric Gordon said. None. Brandon Cooks, I think, is different. And I think it's important to make distinctions between players who do speak up about the situations that they are in. Cooks voluntarily came back to the Texans and was paid a handsome loser tax. Eric Gordon is on a team with a bunch of kids. You know, I hate to frame it like that, but these are young adults who are, I imagine, learning as much about how to be an adult post college as they are about how to play in the NBA. It's a lot. And I'm not making excuses here for a Jalen Green or Kevin Porter Jr. or Jabari Smith. These guys do seem to be taking steps in the right direction, but they're very baby steps. And if you're Eric Gordon, like, wait a second, I'm a babysitter now? Like, that's what he has been resorted to. And, I mean, you can have conversations with Eric Gordon and ask him, hey, but we need you to be a mentor. We need you to help out here. At what point are you just going to say, nah, screw this? I feel for Gordon in this situation. It's a crappy place to be.
Yeah, and also being basically the only guy in that position. Like, there's not, you know, veterans on the team. It's really just Eric Gordon, Boban, you know, that's really it. But as far as guys who play, it's just Eric Gordon. Anyone with any sway in the locker or any, you know, like you said, any actual success in the NBA in the locker room.
Right, exactly. And you may as well. I mean, yeah, and you brought up Boban too. Sorry to Boban, who is a massive human being. Boban's more of a mascot than he is like a key player for you, right? Like, how much does he even play?
And yeah, that's the thing of like when you say like, yeah, have a whole bunch of young guys and sign some veterans at the end of the bench to be the veteran. It's like, well, you need those veterans to actually play to have like some sort of standing in the team.
Exactly.
And for the Rockets, Eric Gordon. That's it.
If Gordon's talking like
Garrison
this,
Matthews.
Yeah, Garrison Matthews. Jeez. If Gordon's talking like this, move him. Just move him. Be done with it.
Probably should have traded him last year, to be honest.
Yeah, they definitely should have traded him last year. With Gordon, it never made sense to keep him. You know, we're talking about like a first-round pick that you could have gotten for him, and he's getting up there in age. Second-round pick, that's better too. Like, veteran players aren't going to help these guys out. They're just not. They're going to have to figure it out on their own, and there's going to need to be, I think, a tougher hand directing things. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I think Vernon Maxwell is going to have some similar thoughts when he joins us next. Mad Max, former Houston Rocket, longtime NBA player with a new podcast, is going to join me. Don't go anywhere. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Things I like about Vernon Maxwell. I hear he cusses. Hopefully that won't happen during this interview, but I've been told by the Twitch, you might have to press the dump button a couple of times with some of the things that he says. Second, he is a guard enforcer, the idea of which is absolutely hilarious to me. And third, the man knows how to talk trash. He has a new podcast. It is the Maxed Out podcast. The first episode came out about a month ago. Allen Iverson was on it. And Allen Iverson, who played with Vernon Maxwell back in 2000 for the Philadelphia 76ers, shared a pretty amusing story that goes to show you what Vernon Maxwell wasn't afraid to do.
Well, somebody fouled me hard. I don't remember who it was. But I just remember Vernon, you know, telling the guy, like, look, don't do that again because he's going to pay my fine. He's going to pay my fine. So if you foul him like that one more time, there's going to be some repercussions. Man, I don't think nobody breathed on me no more after that.
And joining us right now on the HRNP listener line, a man who has a fantastic nickname, Mad Max, a guy who could shoot threes with the best of them, a champion with your Houston Rockets in a season, in a career that also featured time with the Spurs, the Sixers, the Magic, the Hornets, the Kings, the Supersonics, and Mavericks, Florida Mr. Basketball in 1984, go Gators, Vernon Maxwell. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy, what's going on with you? How y'all doing?
I'm very excited to have you on. And hopefully,
thanks for having me.
Hopefully, we're going to allow you to vent, because from what I understand, there's something that's been driving you a little crazy with the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm glad you gave me this platform where I could do this, too. Thank you. But I'm just, you know, it's just, the Rockets, and I get it. I understand what the f*** is going on. And what is I know the Houston Cougars and shit like that, and I get it.
Vernon. Okay, look, we got to pause for a second. I wish this was a podcast. Sadly, the government does not allow
us to.
I swear on the radio.
So goddamn, I want to cuss these not so bad.
I got you. We just if we can make it through.
All right, I'm gonna try to tone it down just a little bit.
All right, cool. I appreciate the effort. Listen, I like to curse when I'm not on the radio myself.
No, but I just really want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about this.
Let's go. All right, 3, 2, 1, start over. Let's go, Vernon.
All right. Now, well, my problem is that I have. Because I understand and I get it. You know, LaJuan, Drexler, and those two. I mean, I love LaJuan. I love Drexler. I mean, no hard feelings towards none of those guys. I mean, it ain't them the ones doing it. And my first beef is, I mean, I keep telling them every time, well, they don't bring me back anymore. But I guess because I don't think the father, I don't think he really messed with Matt, with Mad Max like that. So they don't really, you know, associate with Mad Max or Rockets. I don't, you know, any. I don't know why, but, and I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. I mean, why would they just tell me that? And just like, you know, when you walk in that arena, and it's like I ain't did nothing for the Rockets. And I get it. I understand the way I left the team, you know, and but still, man, I mean, for real, man, y'all got everybody that played on the championship team that did something on the team. Y'all got them boys plastered up there on the wall. And I feel so Like, I'd be so mad and so angry, and I keep telling them time after time after time again. Man, why y'all don't make no room up there, man, and put me up there on that wall, man? Because I'm telling you, man, and from the bottom of my heart, man, I mean, and I get it. I understand. You know, he's a cougar and dream and, you know, but it's like, for instance, when Sam Cassell come through there, man, you know, with the Sixers. Mm-hmm. I mean, show that man some homage, man. Show that man some love. Hey, y'all, we got Sam Cassell, two-time NBA ex-Rocket, you know, hey, here's the... You got to acknowledge this man or something, man.
What do you think standing in the way?
Something.
Because you're showing some remorse right here about the way that things ended, which is totally understandable from their perspective, maybe why they might be looking at you with a side eye.
I agree, and I understand. I get it, but is it that damn? I understand, but if Vernon Maxwell, I mean, just for instance, game three, going out to Phoenix. We was done, man. We lose game three, man. We weren't going to beat them boys, man. I'm just saying, man, it's like I ain't did nothing there, man. And I know, man, I was a big part of that organization, man. The Lakers, they don't run their organization like that. They have owners that know how to run the organization. I'm just telling you, they don't do it. They don't move like the Rockets. The New York Knicks. They got all these, they even won a damn championship. I don't know when last time they won one. But they John Starks, they take care of their guys, man. The Rockets, man, they just take care of Dream and Drexler, man. And that ain't right, man. I mean, there's other guys on that team, man, that did stuff, man, to help to win the championship, man. It wasn't just them two, man. They gotta show some homage to some other guys, man. That's all I'm trying to say, man. I'm just tired of this, man. I mean, it wasn't just Dream, and it wasn't just Clyde. I understand, and I get it. Like I keep saying, I get it. It's Cougars and Petita, his name is all over the Cougars organization, whatever they got, that university over there. And I get it, and I understand. But show some respect, man, to the other guys, man, too, man. That's all I'm trying to say, man.
When I come
in that arena, man, don't put me way up in the nosebleed section, man. Sit me down there with Dreams to that.
You know what?
Why I don't sit on the floor? Why you have to hide me somewhere? And then, I mean, I'm just sick of it, man. I'm just tired of it, man.
I don't care.
I don't care what they say and what they ever want, whatever they want to do with me. They can say, okay, never come back around again. I don't care.
Well,
I don't care.
Bernie Maxwell with us on the HRMP listener line. Matt Max, I want to say this for you. The 20-year anniversary, it's next year? So maybe there's a chance. And let's try to get the ball rolling.
Man, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care about no. I wouldn't care. It's going to be fake because they don't respect all the guys, man. They respect two guys, man. That's it. Two guys. All the rest of them, we just pawns. They just push us around. That's all. We ain't nothing. We just pawns. That's all. I'm just saying, man. I'm tired of that.
Vernon Maxwell.
And I said what I had to say, said what I had to say, and I stand on it. And I don't care how the Rockets feel. I don't care what they want to do. I got my own stuff going. I got my own thing. So it doesn't matter. I got my own platform. I can speak and say what I want to say.
That's true.
I didn't want to say that, and I'm gonna keep talking about this on my platform too.
Well, I'm glad that you shared it with us, too. This has been a very fun ride to this point. And before we do talk about your new podcast, you had Allen Iverson on for the first episode last month, and Sam Cassell, who you just mentioned a little bit ago, is going to join you. I know that you're saying you're focusing on yourself right now. It does seem like, though, you would like them to do something to bring you back in. Is there nothing that the organization could do for you or for some of these other players that you feel like aren't getting recognized the way that they should be?
Well, I'm just saying, man, just be respectful to the guys that did something for the organization, man. I mean, y'all got, we bought y'all, I mean, two rings. So, man, I don't know. They ain't won now since. So I guess it's hard to do. I don't know if they're going to do it anytime. I don't think they're going to do it anytime soon, man. I mean, you got to show respect to all them guys, man. I mean, from
everybody that played on that team, man. Show them guys respect, man. It ain't this Clyde and Dream, man. And I get it. And I keep saying I get it, man. And I know what it is, man. But, I mean, it's fine, though. That's fine. But just show respect, man, to everybody else. And paint my damn pitch up there on that dang wall up there in that damn arena.
Here we go. I'm impressed, Vern. You have been keeping the swears close to the vest the remainder of this interview. I appreciate it. As someone who has a sailor mouth myself, the count is at 7 right now. I'm honestly impressed. This is why we like to have you aboard. One of my favorite things about you, Vern, from afar, and I was in Seattle for a couple of years, and there's appreciation for you up there as well, has been that you have unified so many basketball fans across the country with your disdain for the not-so-great state of Utah. I know you've talked about how that began. I love, though, that you will point at a specific city and you just dislike it, because I'm the same way. I've never been to Indianapolis. The idea of Indianapolis disgusts me. And on top of that, too, Oklahoma City, there shouldn't be a basketball team there. So I'm with you. It's fun to hate on random cities and states, because maybe there are some insufferable fans.
Well,
that are living
this thing, that's not random. That's what I went through, and that's why I feel everything I said, I feel, and I stand on it about Utah. Yes, and I got a special coming on HBO, right around All Star Weekend. Me and Bomani Jones, I got a special coming on with them, and I'm gonna roast them.
I love it. Fantastic!
It's gonna go down, and I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna be out there in Utah, All Star Weekend. I got my podcast. I'm gonna hold my podcast right across the street from the arena, live.
Okay,
and I got a lot of stuff coming up. I got a lot of stuff I'm getting ready to do. So, and yes, it's real beef.
I like it. So you're going to be a roast master when it comes to the Utah Jazz. Vernon Maxwell, Mad Max, with us right now. Is there any material that you can share with us, though? I ask this, and I'm almost 100% positive there's going
to
be a cuss.
HBO, they don't want me to talk about it too much. It's going to be funny. It's going to be good. It's going to be live. I mean, it's going to be real good. It's going to be real good. It's going to be a real good segment.
That sounds fantastic. Sam Cassell is going to be joining you on the next episode of the Maxed Out podcast. Are you guys going to talk in greater detail about some of the things that you were just sharing with me and with everyone listening right now?
No, we talked about, I had a great interview with Sam. We talked. I went to his house first, that day of, and I sat out in his living room. We chopped it up and just talked about some stuff. And, he's just saying, the Rockets just don't show him no respect, And I agree with him. I mean, nobody don't ever say nothing about Sam Cassell, really. And I feel like Sam was a big part of our team. I'm just telling you, man, what he did for our team just as a rookie when he came in, hitting big shots against the Knicks. I'm just saying, man, he did a lot of other stuff, man. I mean, so you gotta give that man some homage and I don't know, man. I don't even want to talk about the Rockets no more. I think they need to respect other players that played in the organization. For instance, Mario Ellis, a guy lives right there in Houston. I don't know what he do for the Rockets. I don't know what he do. But only thing I'm saying is they should show him more homage than what they do for him. I mean, I'm just saying, man. There's a lot to go on and on, man. The Rockets, they just show two players, like, they played all the defense. They made all the buckets. They did everything, and nobody else did. Now, we were just out there just like pawns or something. I mean, they act like it was just them, man. That's not right, man. There's other people playing in the organization, man, did stuff, man, too. So, man, and we just talked about that, man. And that was about it, man. Just the Rockets, how sorry the organization is when it comes to the guys that did something for the organization. That's all, man.
Well, Vernon, I really appreciate your time today. I'd love to do this again, especially if we got to sit down together. And I'm looking forward to the next episode of the Maxed Out podcast. The first episode, it's you and Allen Iverson.
Well, it comes out today. The next episode comes out later on today.
Hell yeah.
So it'll be out.
All right. Very exciting. He is Mad Max. Vern, appreciate you joining us, man. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Hey, man, you too. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
Vernon Maxwell, everybody. That's fantastic. That was fantastic. What, we should have set an over-under for swears, but that was my first official Vernon Maxwell experience. I think that 4 was an interesting number. 7. Joel Blank is laughing behind the glass right now, just shaking his head. Listen, I didn't know. We dive into new frontiers every single day on the Paul Gallant Show. Do you think if I had started the interview off by saying, hey, swears, don't do that, that he wouldn't have? Because it was legit, right out of the chute, 5 and not even 30 seconds. It's fantastic. Anyway, Vernon Maxwell, we very much appreciate his time. And check out his podcast, Maxed Out. The first episode's already out with Allen Iverson, and later today, the episode with Sam Cassell. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Very interesting interview that we just had with Vernon Maxwell. You want to check it out on the podcast. If you heard it live over the stream, congratulations, you heard 7 swear words. If you heard it over the radio and you're offended by such things, sorry. That's all I got to say. We tried our best. We tried our best to hide the world from all the swears, but Vern went a little overboard when it came to that.
Yeah, when you invited him back on the show for next time, I was like, if there is a next time.
I think there's a way we can do it a next time. I think if we do it pre-recorded, it would actually
I was gonna say you're gonna have to hop on a Zoom with them.
And I'm totally cool with that. I don't like, see, here's what bums me out about just radio as a whole. I don't like that you're not allowed to swear on it. I get it, and also this is one of those hours where, you know, there might be some kids in the car, so I'm empathetic to that. And if there was anybody, sorry if you had to yell earmuffs 7, 8, 9 times or so. Sorry, that's all I got to say.
He had one stretch where it was like
right out of the shoot.
3 in a row. And I was like, I don't know if I had to hit the button 3 different times or if it – I know it does it over duration time, so we're good. But I was like, this is crazy.
I should have done a little pep talk with him like at the very beginning of it. I did tell him just to go straight into what you're mad about. You know what grinds your gears? And then boom, boom, MF-er, F, damn.
Yeah, so in retrospect, you should have done the opposite of that.
Probably.
Because you're like gearing him up. You're like, yeah, just get into it.
Yeah.
Speak from the heart. Listen. And you're like, but keep it PG-13, please.
Yeah.
Actually, PG. PG-13, you can say one S word.
That's very true. On the Paul Gallant Show.
It's a PG show.
Hell yeah, dude. We're so cool. Something to bum me out listening to that, he does sound like he's got a lot of regret about perhaps the way things ended here. He did acknowledge, like, yeah, like I was a part of what happened where, you know, and after a loss to Utah in the 1995 playoffs, he was frustrated that Clyde Drexler was playing, had his starting spot. He was waived not long afterwards. That would eat at me. And I imagine there would perhaps be a better relationship between him and the Rockets if not for that moment. I mean, it's a difficult thing, though, in a sport where only 5 players take the field to, I think, lose your spot to somebody who is, by objective opinion across the NBA, better than you. Like, what are you supposed to do about that? Especially when you were on a team that had won the title the year before, and you were, in a way, a part of a team that won the title the next year, but it was getting rid of Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell, which is where the Rockets were able to get things back in gear and take down Utah and everything. So I hope that the Rockets do welcome him back. I don't know that it should be a hero's welcome because of the way that he ended, and I'm glad that he didn't make it all about him. It seems like the frustration might be more about Sam Cassell not getting his due. And in the next episode of Vernon's podcast, which you can check out, the Maxed Out podcast, Cassell's going to be on it. I'm sure you're going to hear more about it. I don't know that I 100% agree with the idea that it's just Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler that are remembered from those teams. I think that Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, is someone who is regularly welcomed back into the fold. But after that, maybe it isn't quite so welcoming for ex-Rockets. I know for Matt Bullard, for the longest time, it was. He was, you know, on the daily broadcast of Rockets games every single night with Bill Worrell. But he might be a little bit more informed on me on that. I do feel like, though, we have seen some ex-Rocket players welcome back into the vault. What I'll say that I disagree with Vernon Maxwell there, to welcome somebody back is not fake. It's an admission of being wrong. It's an admission that you could have handled the relationship a little bit better. And I think there are some people listening right now that don't think Vernon Maxwell does deserve any of those things. I think they're fair arguments to make that he needs to have a picture of him painted or something like that. No. But I don't think you just disavow the guy because he did win a first title with you. You know, had he not, I think this is an entirely different conversation. It's a closed book right from the start. But we are talking about a guy that did win a title with this team, was a part of the back-to-back title teams, and obviously has a different story than most of the players. You can't welcome him back once. You can't try to put him in the organization. But, you know, the Junkyard Dog, Mario Elie, he's on the Rockets broadcast too. We still see him. It's not like everybody that's been a part of that organization has been thrown off to the side. But in the case of Sam Cassell, okay, maybe there's a case to be made there. And in the case of Vernon Maxwell, there's certainly a case to be made there. But you got some thoughts on that? That was a fun interview. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, we got some garbage time, and you would think that sports organizations would be a little bit smarter to prevent attention being called to themselves for censoring fans. And yet, we have two examples of it over the course of the past week. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Because, listen, people, TGS Insurance is saving money for our listeners on home insurance every single day. People know they're overpaying. And you know what they do? They text money to 232323 to get an instant quote with legit savings. How about a couple of our listeners who saved big on their home insurance over the course of the past month? We have Horatio in Cyprus, $600. We have Juan in Katy, $1,200. And we have Paul in North Houston, not me, $1,900. From inside the loop to the suburbs, all the way to the coast, the average customer is saving over $800. The time for you to save is right now. So grab your phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back. You'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. It's that easy to win. And with over 2,000 five-star reviews, this is a company you can trust. It's simple, fast, easy, and big savings. The TGS Insurance way. Let them work for you today. Are you going to make their weekly leaderboard? Let's find out. Text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Make sure you subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast. You'll get that full interview with Vernon Maxwell, which was certainly something. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I don't like it when fans are censored by the people that run the teams they root for. We've saw this over the last couple of years in Houston with the Houston Texans. If I'm not mistaken, there were ushers at NRG Stadium who from time to time would ask fans to put away signs that called to fire Bill O'Brien, fire Jack Easterby. I'm of the belief that as long as the sign isn't vulgar and isn't going to perhaps give kids some ideas of new words that they can play with, I think it's in bounds. Over the course of the past week, we've seen two organizations censor their fans. First off, John Henry, the owner of the Boston Red Sox, who, yeah, have won four titles since he has taken the reins, but who also have lost a lot of their great players over the last couple of years. Someone tweeted out at the Winter Classic between the Boston Bruins and Pittsburgh Penguins, a hockey game that took place at Fenway Park. He said that security took away a sign that he had, a gold and black sign, Bruins colors, that said, "Pay Rafael Devers, please." It was confiscated. That's a bad look. Especially when you're talking about a fan base that does give a crap and a fan base that already isn't very thrilled with that ownership group. When you do stuff like this, you essentially are Streisand affecting yourself. All it's going to take is a couple of people to circulate the fact that you had a sign taken away from a fan for putting out something that is extremely innocuous. Pay Devers. That's too much for you? How thin-skinned are you? You're a billionaire. Do you really care about the sheep? Do you really care? When you're telling people that are paying astronomical prices to go to Fenway Park, for example, and their cheap little tiny seats to give your butt splinters that have obstructions in the way, and you're going into the bathroom and there's like poop coming out of the sink at Fenway Park, which is a dump. You're paying $150 for tickets. And all of a sudden the owner is saying, "Oh, by the way, you can't bring in a sign that says to pay one of the best players." Like, you've lost me there. We also saw this at Georgetown. Huh. Interesting that Georgetown would do something like this. Suppress free speech in George Washington's very backyard. A person who brought in a sign that said, "Save G-Town Basketball," and on the back said, "New Year, New Coach," was taken away from him. And Usher explained, "Georgetown does not want any antagonistic signs in the arena." This is the kind of stuff that soft, let's be honest, sensitive folks are going to do when they realize that everybody knows the truth about them. You could own it. Why not own it? Why not own the fact that fans are frustrated and then put out some sort of PR statement and try to do something to win them back? Why not do that instead of just being in denial? And I will give the Texans some credit for this. Hard to give them a lot of credit these days. But at the very least, the Texans seem to be self-aware. I don't know that this year they are taking signs away from fans. Maybe they are. I know they weren't taking signs away from the two people who were standing outside NRG Stadium that were saying Watson for president and that he's innocent. They didn't take that sign away. It's outside the stadium. Maybe it's a little bit different. Of course, if you're walking into a stadium, you will sometimes see some person telling you with like eight signs that are for some reason like on top of one another that say you're going to go to hell for going to this game. Don't you love those guys? They have a megaphone. Just start shouting at you.
It's like, dude, I know I'm going to hell. It's probably not for Texans Titans week 9.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think that's what I'm getting at the gates.
Yeah, exactly.
You saw Malik Willis live and paid for it?
It was hell. Actually, you're right.
You already went to hell.
I went to hell.
I'm going to hell right now. Listen,
I'm doing my penance, you know?
Section 124.
I'm just getting ahead of the curve so I can skip purgatory, okay? They, to my knowledge, haven't done that this year, and they do seem to finally be somewhat self-aware. I don't know if people are aware of the fact that they sent out an email to fans about possible jersey redesigns, look redesigns, and Columbia blue is a possible color. They're apparently going to change their uniforms in one of the next couple of years. Like, there's a bunch of things that, at the very least, are finally percolating with that organization. But it also is worth mentioning that a couple of years ago, they were removing signs from fans, and I think that is like the epitome of weak move. This is what is done in non-democratic nations.
To be fair, a team is non-democratic.
True.
They are basically dictators of their own little world when you walk in the stadium.
But they shouldn't be.
So you're big into fan-controlled football. Let the people decide.
I'm not going that far, Sean.
Let the people run or pass.
All I'm saying is, do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. It is the music of a fan base who will not be slaves again.
Is this from Braveheart?
No, it's from Les Miserables.
Oh, okay.
A real man's movie.
There's like four movies that that are Paul movies that this could have been from.
I haven't quoted Braveheart that often. I probably should quote it a little bit more.
Yeah,
honestly.
I remember. I've seen
the movie like 25 times.
I was going to say, I think over the summer you had just watched it.
With Scotland is
you mentioned
too many
it
Scots.
So much. You'd be like, he's like William Wallace against. And I'm like, what are we doing? Tony Busby is like William Wallace.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. I was trying to think of what we talked about over the summer.
That would be me calling William Wallace an intolerable hardo. Now, Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
A little warmer. Time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Texter from the 409 says, when I was at UH, we were playing LSU, and I had a, quote, Ben Simmons is ugly, end quote, sign. They took my sign and said it was offensive. Ben Simmons' career hasn't been the same since. I mean, I bet it was the same because he probably also couldn't make shots in college. Am I wrong? He couldn't hit a shot in college?
He actually was better in college.
He's progressed, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd hope he's better in college.
He took, like, some post-up jumpers.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then he just stopped. Alas, earwax.
Probably because of that sign.
That sign just rattled into his core. Had to take a mental health break with Kendall Jenner. To the Maldives. Maldives? I don't know. What's going on as we go through garbage time? I saw the arrest reports for New Year's Eve here in Houston. There are a lot of DUIs. Sad. Don't do it. Take the Uber. Although it took me an hour and 10 minutes to actually get an Uber to come to me. And I left the party I was at 1:30 on New Year's Eve. But five were arrested for illegally discharging firearms in the city limits. I'm fascinated by these people. I guess a teenager, she got hit by one of the bullets, and I think she's okay. I'm fascinated by the people that will just take a gun out and just shoot it up in the air. You know it comes down, right? And I am all for responsible gun ownership. Paul, I thought you were lib. No, I'm all for responsible gun ownership. Isn't that like the stupidest thing ever?
You're saying that doesn't seem responsible?
It doesn't seem responsible,
being Yosemite
Sean.
Sam?
No, being Yosemite Sam and shooting all over the ground or shooting up in the air doesn't sound good. Shooting at Megan Thee Stallion's feet, probably not a good idea. Guy who was on trial for shooting at Megan Thee Stallion's feet. It was a joke, he said. It's funny.
I had just seen Back to the Future 3, and I wanted to try it. That was his defense, right?
No.
Actually, it wasn't, because he would have won his case if that was his defense.
I think he said he was being attacked or something like that. Self-defense! Look, I'm all for responsible gun ownership. I'm just saying, can we at least be responsible so that this isn't brought out by the people who want to take our guns away? Like, can we just do that? Is it that hard to not pull out your gun?
It's a self-inflicted error is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, if Ryan Seacrest announcing that it's 2023 is enough to get you excited to the point where you need to pull your Glock out and shoot it straight up in the air six times, you might have a problem.
Yeah, no, Seacrest, no. But, however, Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus?
Seacrest maybe. Out! Plat, 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 plat! He used to say that for some reason, right? I don't know. We're kind of punchy. It's the Vernon Maxwell effect.
Yeah, I feel like we're still... The show has not been the same.
Well, are we ever going to recover from the moment where the FCC... Listen to us.
I
say,
thought
oh, God, you had Vernon Maxwell on? You're going to jail.
I thought they're
going
to barge in or something, arrest us.
Yeah, swat us or something like that. Big thanks to everybody who joined, especially Vernon Maxwell. Check out the podcast. I would like to do this again. We probably could have to pre-record it. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, our callers, and Twitchers and tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace.
So sleek. So spelt.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.